good son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
We are back. Comic Brian Miller with a Y, Brian Berge with an I from Insight Brewing, and Jeff O'Brien, lawyer extraordinaire, and
with an E. I love that.
And he in our very special guest, Brian or Jeff O'Brien, calls you his mentor, Senator Dave Durenberger. Senator, thank you for taking the time with us. We greatly appreciate it. Senator Durenberger, can you hear me okay?
I can, Bob, yes.
Great, okay. Now, before we talk anything related to politics, I want to give a tip of the cap to the Durenberger family for your father hiring John Gilardi.
Yeah.
65, or what would it be, like almost 70 years ago? And also, hired a basketball coach who lasted, what, 40 years on his own or close to 50?
Probably, and then he got, yeah. Jim Smith lasted. How long did Jim last?
About 60 years, I think.
Yeah,
you
yeah, yeah, exactly.
But that's incredible. Wow. Your dad knew how to. Your dad knew how to pick them. Now, did you didn't play football at St. John's? Did you?
No, I played up to about age 5.
And it caught them to 10. That's very good, Senator. But I've often said, we'll get off the football talk, but I've covered sports since the mid-70s, and my two favorite coaches, I'll have a college and a pro division, are John Gilardi in the college division and Jerry Burns in the pro division. Those guys are terrific, and they were great. I don't know if you know Jerry at all, but they're both great guys and great coaches to have covered.
That's nice to hear. That's really nice to hear.
Yeah, they're both good guys. Now, I wanted to talk to you because I saw the comment. We talked briefly off the air about Governor Dayton saying, you know, going basically Affordable Care Act is not affordable. And you made a great point, and if you could, mention that about, well, he kind of stated something, and it was, you know.
Sure.
We all knew that, didn't we, that it was not affordable.
Yeah, I think here's the reality. Mark Dayton was in the Senate. Mark Dayton has held almost every office in the state, so Mark Dayton knows a lot about government, and he knows when something new like this comes along, where there's a combination of national policy, national financing, state financing, private financing, that it's going to call out the leadership in a state like Minnesota, which has always been known for leadership and healthcare reform. It's going to call out that leadership to help us as a state adjust to the new set of rules that are coming with Obamacare.
Yep.
And so here 6 years later, not having done that, and 6 years later when we're all confused about it, but we know there's a huge amount of public money going into it, to have our leader say something like either it's not working or it's the fault of the Republicans, it's just like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Yeah, that's there's a lot of fault to go around, but I don't know, the Republicans weren't exactly pushing for this. What do you think this is going to wind up, whether it's Hillary Clinton, if she comes in, are you convinced she'll push for the government run health care like they close to what they have in Canada? And there's word that she wants to dismantle Obamacare to put her own in.
No. The reality is she can't do anything on her own. Period. And secondly, she can't do anything without Republicans. And thirdly, it's so incredibly complex that a few Republicans and a few Democrats, with a few people that work for the president, are going to have to put their heads together and figure out if we want this thing to succeed, if we want to bring down the overall cost to every American of the cost of health care, and we want to enhance the quality of care and the health of the population while we're doing it, she's going to have to provide the leadership for that. And she's going to have to make it quite clear, not that we got to blame Democrats or we got to come up with a public, you know, option or something like that, but she has to be open to a frank discussion about what is the best policy that a combination of conservatives and liberals, conservatives wanting to supposedly make it all work better through private markets, and liberal to want to say we're spending a lot of public money, so we got to be sure this works, you know. What do they come up with? And the only thing she's going to have to make clear is that she is willing to support the basic thesis of Obamacare, which is we can create over time a genuinely American health system. We don't have to rely on government run, or we don't have to rely on single payer. We don't have to rely on Medicare for all. We have it in us to create a genuine American health system. To do that, I need Republicans not to oppose expanding it to all Americans, not to oppose, you know, whatever it is, changes in Medicare, Medicaid, but I need their cooperation in telling me how can we make markets work to do in healthcare what they seem to be able to do in most other services that we buy in this country.
Senator, this is Jeff O'Brien. Good to hear from you again.
Thank you, Jeff.
When this issue came up in the first term of the Bill Clinton administration, you were one of those Republicans there that were one of those that were willing to work with the other side and offer ideas. Who's there now that you would predict would be likely to be the one to come forward and with and try to fix this?
Sure. First, I was among 27 willing senators, and they were half Republican but half Democrat. And John Chafee was our leader, and John Brough and I were the vice leaders. But we had 27 people working on this for the better part of a year. Most of us were quite knowledgeable, not everybody, but I'd say maybe a dozen of us had the experience in the appropriate committees to be quite knowledgeable about, you know, how far to go and where to stop and what to use to make it happen. Today, that number probably is only half of that. And for starters, I would suggest the people who are the chair and the ranking member of the Senate Finance Committee, because you're going to have to focus on the Senate. The House is out of control. I mean, the House is too political. The House runs 24/7 campaigns, as we all well know. Mm-hmm. So Paul Ryan can be helpful. Kevin Brady, who chairs the Ways and Means Committee, can be helpful. Fred Upton from Michigan, who chairs the Energy and Commerce Committee. Those are the House committees of jurisdiction. They can be helpful. But the deals are going to have to be made at the leadership of the Senate Finance Committee and the HELP Committee, Health, Education, Labor. Mike Enzi, I think, the Republican chair. That's the one Al Franken is on. You have to find people that understand something about the complexity of this system to put their heads together. It might be 6, it might be 8, it might be 10. I don't know the numbers, but they're there, and they can do this.
Well, something has to be done. I'll use myself as an example, because I am, independent. I pay for my own insurance, and it's going up from almost $1,900 to almost $3,000. And it has to, because I have 5 kids, so I have to get a good health system. I'm actually looking at an alternative. I'm looking at one of the Christian-based programs where I would cut it down to like $450 a month. But, there's some trepidation with something like that. But people, I'm not even concerned anymore. They've got me to the point, I don't even care if there's a tax increase. I'm worried about healthcare will destroy the middle class on the course it's on, more so than tax increases will.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. The healthcare costs run by the old system, which is we don't buy healthcare or health medical services or healthy, habits. We allow that. We buy insurance. And for every dollar you spend, there's 20 cents on average being spent just for the insurance.
Yep.
So one of the goals that, and you can find this in Minnesota, you can find it in California, you can find it in states that used to work a lot better health care for less cost, you can find that they have slowly over time converted to presenting you with an opportunity to be a member of a health company. And you pay one price for the dollar membership. You pay quite a lesser price for the $5 membership, because long term, the incentive is to save money for both the company and the member by keeping you healthy, by getting you the right diagnosis, most appropriate medical care, whether it's surgery or it's therapy. But everyone has the same incentive in the system as far as money is concerned and outcome is concerned. Then you've got a functioning system. And this dichotomy of we buy insurance and then insurance tries to negotiate prices, and then you get something in the mail called this is not a bill, that's BS. It doesn't work to buy anything else in America, you know. Yeah, you don't buy your clothes that way.
Not a bill, but the bill's coming.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Now, Senator, let me ask you a little off topic of health care, certainly. Is this election over? There are people like Brian Miller here who seem to think that Senator Clinton's already got it in the bag. Do you feel it's in the bag for her already, that she's going to win and it's not even going to be close? Or do you think this could be close on Election Day and that Trump could even win?
No, I believe that Hillary Clinton's going to be the next president of the United States. I don't know how close it's going to be. I suspect closer than the Clinton campaign may think. But I also believe that only because she is the one that offers the kind of opportunities that we need to bring us all together. I know that's hard to believe that either of those
can bring us all together,
yeah. But she's the one with the incentives to do it. She's been around 25 years. She now knows how the system works, which she didn't when she got started. But she sure as heck does now.
Well, Senator,
she's got all the incentives to make it work.
I hope that if she is elected, that she decides to step back and recruit some former politicians like yourself to be involved in redoing that health care, because you have experience with it already. You've been through it once. And I don't think you should have to be a sitting senator or a sitting politician to help make it better, because you have a wealth of knowledge that, and I think you and others who've been involved before, they should be tapping that knowledge, and hopefully they will.
Well, I'll take that as an opinion, not as a suggestion.
Well, I'll be writing to President Clinton if she gets elected and telling her.
Right.
Senator Durenberger, it's a thrill to talk to you. Thank you so much for making the time, and I hope we can call on you again. Maybe when we get a couple of weeks, we get even closer to the election. And thank you to Jeff O'Brien for having had you as a mentor and coming through. But I got to ask you one last thing. You grew up with the Johnnies. You worked for the Tommies as you were the professor there.
Yep.
So who do you pull for when they play? Do you wear both colors?
I made it clear when they hired me that I was wearing red. I wasn't wearing purple.
So they knew right away you were a Johnny through and through.
Absolutely. You can't change a guy once he's been born and bred.
I asked him the day that the first time the Tommies played in the national championship game, I said, so, and he was still on the staff at St. Thomas, and I said, so what are you doing today? And he said, I'm wearing red and cheering for the Tommies.
That's a good answer. Very political, Senator. Very political.
Right.
Senator, thank you so much, Senator Dave Durenberger.
Thank you,
greatly appreciate it. Have a great day. All right.